Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Tonight was the post Double or Nothing edition of AEW Dynamite on this, the final day of May. It is the last day of the month. No AEW World Champion tonight, MJF. We did have a video package, but he was not on the show tonight. We didn't get any clarity on who he may be either working with next or defending his championship against next. But we did have a major announcement. Of course, one of many. We get them seemingly every week from Tony Khan. Tony Khan promised a major announcement tonight concerning the debut episode of AEW Collision, which, as you know, is premiering on June 17th on TNT from the United Center in Chicago, Illinois. And he was going to make an announcement about that debut episode, and it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what that announcement was probably going to be. It was the worst-kept secret in wrestling. You see right there, up there, there he is right there. The big announcement is that CM Punk is coming back, and CM Punk will not only be on the debut edition of Collision in Chicago, but he will be on every episode of Collision going forward. And the real story here was the reaction in the arena. They were in San Diego tonight. The reaction in the arena really told a very interesting story when they made that announcement. So we will talk about what the reaction is and really what the most important thing is to look for going forward as far as CM Punk and these crowd reactions are concerned. And beyond crowd reactions, what the most important aspect is going to be of the CM Punk return. And really one of the main reasons why Tony Khan is bringing this guy back in the first place. But now the cat's out of the bag, so we know CM Punk is on the way back. Putting that announcement on the side, though, this was overall, I thought, an excellent show. And one of my favorite segments of the entire show of all people involved Don Callis. Don Callis now has Dominic Mysterio heat in this company. After what he did at Double or Nothing, after what he did to Kenny Omega weeks ago in the cage match with Jon Moxley, of course, we know that Konosuke Takeshita went heel at the end of Double or Nothing on Sunday. He is aligned with Don Callis. They came out for a promo segment tonight, if you could hear what they were saying, because it was so loud in the building. This was not piped in crowd noise. You could see people in the background. You could see people in other sections when they would cut to the crowd. These people were on their feet. They were shouting. They did not like Don K. He got the kind of heat that if you are a heel, man, you would kill for this type of nuclear heat. And I love even Tony Schiavone at the beginning of the segment said that he could feel. Did he say vile? I thought he said the word vile. I think he meant bile. But he could feel the bile coming up in his throat. He was so disgusted that he had to introduce this man. It was great. It was great. And by the way, there was no MJF on the show in the building tonight, no Kenny Omega either. But there was a mention of Omega during another backstage segment that I think kind of tipped their hand as far as where this story may be going. So we'll talk about that as well. Mixed tag team main event tonight. They gave Adam Cole, Britt Baker, Chris Jericho, and Saraya the main event spot on the show. And they went out there, and Jericho and Adam Cole had a much better match than they had at the pay-per-view on Sunday. This was a much better match than we got from them at Double or Nothing, with a much better crowd. This was a much livelier crowd than the crowd they had in Las Vegas. But it was just a better, more enjoyable, fun match than we saw on Sunday with these two. But even better than that is the outcome of the match and what it means for Adam Cole going forward. Because Adam Cole not only came out a winner on Sunday, he came out a winner over Chris Jericho tonight as well. So with any luck, we will not be getting another 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months of Adam Cole and Chris Jericho, of Adam Cole and the Jericho Appreciation Society, and he can move on. That was maybe the best part of the entire thing. No build at all tonight for Forbidden Door, which is the next pay-per-view coming up on Sunday, June 25th. I expect that to change coming out of the New Japan Dominion show, which is coming up this Sunday. It's one of their big annual events, so I would expect starting next week, we will begin to probably see some interesting cameos on these shows. And the card should start to come into better focus. But this is your AEW Dynamite review for the final day of May, May 31st, 2023. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for joining me here, as I know you do each and every Wednesday. Please do subscribe. We open things tonight on Dynamite with the Blackpool Combat Club. We had Jon Moxley. We had Claudio Castagnoli. We had Wheeler Yuta taking on Bandido and the Lucha Bros. Hot opener here. We got a hot trios match to open the show tonight. Excalibur had Bryan Danielson with them on commentary. And he asked Bryan Danielson point blank. He wanted to know point blank on commentary if Konosuke Takeshita and Don Callis were now officially part of the Blackpool Combat Club. And Danielson deflected. And he said, actually, we'll be hearing from Don Callis a little bit later on in the show. And perhaps he'll have more to say on that later on. So that was a nice little deflection there by Danielson. There was a spot in this match where Penta and Phoenix, they had Moxley and Claudio each locked in a submission hold. And while that was going on, Bandido had Wheeler Yuta in a vertical suplex position. And he held this guy up there for 60 reps. So he had the crowd counting along in batches of 10. 60 seconds, he had this guy hanging upside down before he finally dropped him. And all I know is that if somebody held me upside down like that for 60 seconds, I don't think that would make me feel very good. So, but Bandido is fun, man. You know, the thing about Bandido is every single time we've seen him on Dynamite, every single time we have seen him, it doesn't matter who he's in the ring with, he gets these crowds behind him. And we've had other luchadors on the show, or I mean, but there's something about this guy. He's got a certain physical charisma, even with the mask on. That was always a big thing in WWE. Lucha guys would come in, a lot of them they would unmask. Right? Why is this guy wearing a mask? He's good looking. He can't show facial expressions. And there's something to that, but even underneath the mask, he just has a certain charisma about it. That's why both companies were after him. So it doesn't matter what city they're in. It doesn't matter who he's in the ring with. He has a knack for getting the crowd behind him. He's just fun to watch. And this crowd in San Diego was no different. So then Bandido hit a tornado dive from the top rope, laid out Jon Moxley. Bandido got a pop-up cutter on Yuta, and then a huge frog splash for a close near fall. Danielson attributed on commentary, he was talking about Yuta, and he attributed the training that they have done with Yuta for him to be able to kick out there. He said, a year ago, he never would have been able to kick out of that, but because he's been training with us, now he's able to kick out of stuff like that. So Moxley saved Yuta from the 21-plex attempt by Bandido. Claudio flew in with a supercut, or a no supercut. I just combined uppercut and super kick to super cut. There you go. I challenge any wrestler out there. I want to see you adopt the super cut. There you go. I just gave you a new move. So Claudio flew in with an uppercut, and that led to Yuta hitting a very Bryan Danielson-esque Busaiku knee. And some anvil elbows followed, and then the seatbelt for the win. This was a really fun opener. As soon as I said I was having fun, Jacob Donnelly activating Bree mode for $25. Jacob, thank you. He says, no special message, just wanted to activate Bree mode. Who doesn't love Bree mode? Yeah. Who doesn't? As I was saying, this was, I thought, a really fun opener with a hot crowd. And again, as with Double or Nothing, they give the winning pinfall here. They did it in Anarchy in the Arena. They did it again tonight. Not to Jon Moxley, not to Claudio, not to Danielson on Sunday, the named talents who really don't need the rub. They give it to the one guy who needs it. Right? They give it to the one guy who is not on the same level as them and could really benefit from picking up a win. They give it to Wheeler Yuta. Twice in a row now, so I like that. It's important for him to pick up some big wins to show that he's more than just a little shit, which is what Danielson calls him. He calls him a little shit, but he's our little shit. Well, you got to give the little shit some wins. And they did that again here. But this was fun. I enjoyed this. So then we go to the back, and Alex Marvez is with the Young Bucks and Hangman Adam Page. Matt Jackson was getting his foot taped up after the exploding sneaker spot on Sunday. He was walking around with one shoe on, one shoe off, and that one foot that had no shoe on it, he, unfortunately for him, got dumped into thumbtacks. So that didn't feel too good. So he was getting his foot wrapped here, and he told the guy to, you know, leave, get away. So Matt Jackson started talking, and he said, the Blackpool Combat Club brings out the worst in them. He said he never thought that he would ever try to burn someone's face off with an exploding sneaker. But here we are. Page said that they're still standing and they're still swinging, while the Blackpool Combat Club relies on the numbers game. Evil Uno entered the shot with Alex Reynolds and John Silver. They sarcastically apologized for, ooh, you're with your friends. We don't want to interrupt you, right? So they're being all sarcastic. And Page was going to go after them to explain, but Marvez asked about the rumor that Kenny Omega, not only was Kenny Omega not here tonight, but the rumor going around that Kenny Omega had left the country to go back home, to go back to Canada. Page said that Omega was hurt. He said that Omega was pissed off, but he was not at home in Canada, he said. So the implication being, the way that I read this, the implication being that, yes, Kenny Omega is not at home in Canada because he went back to his other home in Japan. The idea being that he's looking to recruit somebody to bring in to even the numbers here. The numbers are a little lopsided right now. And, gee, I wonder who that could be. I wonder who Kenny Omega could be in Japan potentially recruiting. But again, that's just the way that I read this segment here. So after a break, Tony Schiavone was in the ring to introduce Bullet Club Gold, Switchblade Jay White, Juice Robinson for an interview. They threw their arms around Tony Schiavone in the ring, and Jay White said that Ricky Starks probably feels like he, or felt like, he was on top of the world after eliminating him and Robinson from the Blackjack Battle Royal that was on Sunday for the international title. White said that Starks is not the AEW International Champion because he lost that match, just like he lost to Jay White. So White said that Starks is not the International Champion, as I said, because he lost the match. And Robinson brought up the Tag Team Champions, FTR, and he was wondering why. Why would they, in that backstage segment on Sunday, when Juice and Jay attacked Ricky Starks, FTR came to their rescue. We wanted to know why. Why would they get involved here? Why would they save Ricky Starks? Robinson said Starks has no friends. And Jay White said that FTR are a couple of Southern boys, which means they're probably a little slow. And they look a little dumb, too. So FTR walked to the ring. We had FTR bald and FTR hair, the reigning tag team champions. They came down to the ring. Robinson assumed they were there to apologize. And Jay White assumed that they wanted to join Bullet Club Gold. He said all they had to do was ask politely. So Dax Harwood held out his hand for the microphone. Jay White dropped it in front of him. And then Robinson blindsided Harwood with a cheap shot. A fistful of quarters. Not quite the rolls of quarters that Jacques Rougeau used on Dynamite Kid back in 88, but he did use quarters to knock out, I think, his two front teeth, as the story goes. But he hit him with a fistful of quarters, and down goes Dax. And then the two of them attacked both members of FTR. Ricky Starks ran down to the ring with a chair, which caused Jay White and Starks to flee into the crowd. Starks got on the mic. He stood on the turnbuckles. He looked at them in the crowd. He was all fired up. And he said he's tired of this shit. And he challenged Jay White to a match on Dynamite next week to put an end to this once and for all. And in that match, which has been made official, which is coming up next week, Jay White and Ricky Starks are going to go one-on-one with Juice Robinson and FTR, both barred from ringside. And that's interesting to me because it makes me think that with no one there to help Jay White and no one there to help Ricky Starks, maybe we might see a third member of Bullet Club Gold debut. And especially now that we're getting into Forbidden Door season, and I think we're going to start to see appearances and cameos next week, I think. Could it be a member of the New Japan roster who shows up to come to the aid of Jay White to help him beat Ricky Starks next week? We might get a third member of Bullet Club Gold. I don't know who that would be, but that would not at all shock me next week.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So then it was to the back, to the president of the company, Tony Khan. Tony Khan had a special announcement to make, as I mentioned at the beginning of the stream, with regard to the debut episode of Collision coming up on June 17th. This was quick and to the point. They did not spend a whole lot of time on this. This was very quick, and he made it very clear. He said that he is here to announce that Collision, starting June 17th, will feature CM Punk. And they cut to the crowd, and what was a very noticeably mixed reaction. Plenty of CM Punk chants, and they clearly tried to find people in the crowd who were chanting CM Punk or were wearing CM Punk shirts. They were cutting to different people in different sections, but they could not hide the boos. There were, for all the cheers that there were very noticeable boos. This was as mixed a reaction as CM Punk has probably ever gotten in his entire run in AEW. And he was a babyface pretty much for that entire run, although he may have had certain, you know, heel moments. But you don't see this kind of mixed reaction for CM Punk since he came back to wrestling. So it was very noticeable. And Chicago is not the test, because I already saw people online saying, well, you know, let's see what the reaction is in Chicago on the 17th. The reaction in Chicago is going to be what you expect. He's the Chicago boy, CM, the Chicago maid, CM Punk. He's going to get a hero's welcome. Could there be boos in Chicago? Whatever boos there may be in Chicago are going to be drowned out. June 17th in Chicago is not the test. The test is in week two, when they go to Toronto. The test is in week three when they go to Hamilton. Week four in Regina. Or week five of the show when they go to Calgary. Or after Calgary, they're going to be back in the States. They're going to be in Newark, I think the third week in July. Those are going to be the tests when they get out of Chicago. And they're actually out of the country for the first few weeks because they have that big Canadian swing. So I don't know. Maybe we got some Canadian fans here. The Canadian people think of CM Punk. You know, Canadian fans, they have their favorites, right? Hulk Hogan, no matter what, always went to Canada. Hulk Hogan tried to kill The Rock in the build-up to WrestleMania. He tried to run him down with a truck and murder him. And when he showed up in Toronto, he got cheered like the biggest babyface of all time. So I don't know how Canada is going to respond to CM Punk. But that's the test. Chicago is not the test. And look, I think they have, 6,000 tickets and change out right now for Chicago as of tonight. Now they've announced CM Punk. This is why Tony Khan wanted to get the name out there, because they have tickets to sell. They have booked the United Center. When they were in the United Center 2 years ago for Punk's comeback, they put 14 or 15,000 people in that building. They're not putting 15,000 people in the building this time. We already have the CM Punk return once. I've talked about this before. You do something once, when you come back a second time, it's never as big as the first time. They're going to have 70,000 people, let's say, in Wembley Stadium in August. If AEW tries to run Wembley Stadium again next year, the year after that, they're not getting 70,000 people. You get one shot at this. So this is now the second coming of CM Punk. This is not the first dance. I'm not expecting them to get 15,000 people, but if they can't get 10,000 people in that building, that's not good. Because Tony Khan could have booked any other number of buildings in Chicago that would have been smaller and cheaper than the United Center. He booked the United Center because of CM Punk. Now his name has been announced. Let's see what happens. Very curious to see how many tickets they move in the next week now that his name has been announced. If they're at 6,000 or 7,000 now, 10,000 should be a breeze. Maybe they get to 12 or 13. That'll be a test. As will the ticket sales for all of the other Collision tapings, which last I heard, we're not doing too well. So, of course, he had to get this guy's name out there. He's got tickets to sell. And we'll see if they announce a match for Punk on that first show. Is Punk going to come out on that first Collision and cut a promo like he did on the first dance? I think he should be in a match. I don't think it's enough to have him come out and just do a promo, especially if he's not allowed to even talk about the Elite or Brawl Out or anything people would want to hear him addressing. If he signed an NDA and can't talk about any of that shit, I mean, there goes a lot of the interesting stuff people would want to hear him talking about. So, in my opinion, you've got to get CM Punk a match on that first show. And the rumors were that he wanted to work with Samoa Joe. And the reason Samoa Joe is on the Collision poster and he's on the Collision roster is because Punk wants to work with him. I think that's great. If Punk's coming back, I'd love to see Punk and Joe. And as I've said before, I think they should do that first match on that first Collision, and Joe should beat Punk in Chicago. What a huge moment that would be for Samoa Joe. And there would be a lot of people who wouldn't be expecting Punk to lose in his first match back. But it continues their story from their Ring of Honor days. These two haven't been in the ring together in almost 20 years. Punk can never beat Joe. I don't just want one CM Punk Samoa Joe match. I want at least two, maybe three. Therefore, Joe needs to beat him. What a bigger statement to make than in Punk's return in Chicago, Samoa Joe puts this man down. Better yet, he puts him down and the match isn't even all that competitive. But however they're going to do it, I would be surprised if they don't have Punk wrestling on that first show. I would think you want to announce an actual match for him. But now we've got, 3 weeks, I guess, right? It's about 3 weeks until the Collision debut, and we'll see. Tony Khan got his man back. He wanted CM Punk back. He got CM Punk. He knows that he needs CM Punk to move tickets. He needs CM Punk or some big name if he wants this Collision show to do well. The head of Warner Brothers Discovery is the one who went to Tony Khan and said, "We want more programming from you guys. We're depending on you. We're going to put you on Saturday nights live, 2 hours every week." Tony Khan felt like, "I need CM Punk." Even with CM Punk, there's no guarantee Collision is going to do well. And they're going to be getting bounced around. Do you think Rampage getting bounced around has been bad? Same thing may end up happening to Collision. It's going to wreak havoc on the schedule with all the sports and everything. So I get why he feels he needs CM Punk. But there is a lot of baggage that comes with Punk. And so for Tony Khan's sake, I certainly hope that things work out well for him, because the last thing he needs is more headaches like he's been dealing with over the last 8 or 9 months. He made his choice. He got his man. For his sake, I hope it works out. So we got a three-way match. This three-way dance here was stemming from the Battle Royal at Double or Nothing. We had Swerve Strickland, we had Big Bill, and we had Trent Beretta. Swerve was responsible for Big Bill's elimination on Sunday. Strickland immediately took a powder out of the ring. Trent Beretta decided to go ahead and dive out onto him. And then Big Bill went on offense, heading into the picture-in-picture. Beretta connected with a moonsault from the second row to the floor to take out Big Bill. Then he ate a running punt by Swerve. Strickland wanted his double stomp. Bill, though, fought up on the ropes with him. And Trent joined Strickland up on the ropes, and the two of them then delivered a monster superplex to Big Bill. As Bill was kind of flying through the air for the suplex, I just had visions of the ring imploding. I had visions of that ring just collapsing inward. We've seen that stunt happen a bunch of times before. You get a big boy like that. Ring didn't break, though. I guess they had the ring extra reinforced. And see, I knew that was going to happen. We already have one person in the chat. Why is Solemn Monster a punk hater? Why does he hate punk so much? What did he ever do to him? Again, I'll say this once. I speak facts. I speak the truth. All I said is that this man has been a colossal headache in the past for Tony Khan. And Tony Khan knows what he's getting himself into. That is all I said. Where in that statement did I hate on Punk? I don't understand the brain rot in this community. I just don't. I don't get it. Where are the brain worms coming from? How are they infecting these people? How do they get inside the skull? I don't get it. You know, I had something once. I had a squirrel that died in the wall. A fucking squirrel. Somehow it got in. It died in the wall. Right? Rest in peace. I'm sitting in the living room one day, and I look on the dining room, there's a table, a little coffee table in the living room. And I look on the table, and there's maggots, a couple of maggots in one of the bowls. And I'm just thinking to myself, what the fuck? How did they get in there? That was one of the telltale signs that we had something dead somewhere. But I couldn't tell you how they got in that bowl. So how they're getting in your heads, I have no idea. But all you people who want to go on and on and on and on and on, about the hate on Punk, go ahead. It amuses me. It amuses me. He doesn't even know you exist. Just be aware of that, okay? He does not even know you exist. He's not going to give you a free autograph. He's not going to give you a free hand job. All right? So calm down. So anyway, Monster Superplex here to Big Bill. He gets laid out in the ring. Trent Barretta connects with a half and half overhead suplex on Swerve. Ran into a big boss man slam by Big Bill. Bill and Barretta, they fought to the apron where Bill chokeslammed him back into the ring. So Bill's on the apron. He chokeslams this guy back inside. Strickland, as soon as he finishes the chokeslam, Swerve comes off the top with a double stomp on the apron to Big Bill. So that wipes out, that wipes out Big Bill. And then Swerve hurries back into the ring and he pins Trent Barretta. Everyone saying rest in peace to the squirrel in the wall. Well, he's just bones and dust now. That's what he gets for crawling into the wall. It's not my fault. Don't blame me. Blame the person who owns the house who left that opening out in front. All I hear was a scratch, scratch, scratch. I'm like, what the hell is that noise? Scratch, scratch, scratch. One day there was no scratching anymore. But man, did it fucking stink. Anyway, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed seeing Swerve pick up a win on Dynamite for a change, right? How many times did I talk about how we never get to see Swerve or Keith Lee? There's certain people we really don't ever get to see on Dynamite. So the more that we can see Swerve on this show, the better. We're going to see him again next week. He's going to be challenging Orange Cassidy for the International Championship next Wednesday. So I enjoyed seeing him. I enjoyed Big Bill even. Big Bill getting more television time. I'd like to see more of him as well. It was never explicitly said here that this match was to determine a new number one contender for the international title, but it would seem that would be the case. And then as we would find out later in the show, like I said, we know who the number one contender is now. So coming out of this, Renee was on stage to introduce the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn. Was the squirrel named Rocky? I did not actually give him a name. So, no, I don't believe his name was Rocky. I don't believe his name was Rocky. I think his name now is, his name is Dead. D-E-A-D. That's what he is. It's the wall, brother. It's the wall. You know, I did notice, as soon as Dynamite went off the air, they had that... Was it Rich and Famous, whatever that show is called? They had the show on Hulk Hogan and the Gawker scandal, or the Gawker lawsuit or whatever. I'm getting ready. I'm getting everything set up here for the Dynamite stream, and I still had it on in the background. And as I'm going to turn it off, all I heard, they had the footage of Hogan on the stand during the Gawker trial talking about, I do not have a 10-inch penis. I'm like, I'm turning this off at exactly the right time. So Renee said, unfortunately, things did not go the way that the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn had hoped they would at Double or Nothing. They did not win the trios titles. And she said that you guys requested this time to speak. So Billy Gunn said that he felt like he let down the two people that mean the most to him. Man, what do Austin and Colton think about that, hearing that? Max Caster told him not to feel bad. He said, together, they are the Acclaimed, and they are the people's choice. Anthony Bowen said that a few months ago, they got screwed out of tag team gold. Yeah, they did. Boy, they forgot about that real quick. The Acclaimed seemed to just move on. They didn't seem too bothered by the fact that they got screwed out of their tag team championships. I don't know why they didn't just walk over to FTR and say, hey guys, you know, we kind of got screwed out of those titles. It sure would be nice if you were to, you know, give us a title shot, but not going to happen. So he said that they want more gold. And he said, this man, he was pointing to Billy Gunn when he said this. He goes, this man right here, for all he's given us, he deserves to hold gold one more time. Bowen said, everyone loves the Acclaimed. And that was the end of the segment. Yeah, he really doesn't. He really doesn't have to hold gold one more time. I like Billy Gunn when he comes out. I think his, you know, pairing with the Acclaimed is fun. People enjoy it. They do the whole scissor me daddy ass thing. That's great. I don't particularly really need to see Billy Gunn holding gold anymore. So, thanks anyway. After the break, Tony Schiavone was back in the ring again to introduce us in the most disgusted way possible. He was repulsed by this. To introduce us to Don Callis and Konosuke Takeshita, who entered to Heat in place of entrance music. The heat, the boos from the crowd were their entrance music as they came to the ring. It's the best kind of music. If you are a heel, there is no better music than that. That's music to your ears. Callis was drowned out in the ring by the crowd. He got the Dominic Mysterio reaction. And he said he sincerely hopes these boos are not for him. He hopes these boos are for Kenny Omega. And the boos only intensified. He said, he's the real victim here. Even louder. He said he's done everything for Kenny Omega. IWGP title because of me. AEW title because of me. We could barely hear what this man was saying. It was beautiful. He said every morning he gets up and he has to look at the scar on his head. 23 stitches, he said. And he blames Kenny. He has destroyed his family. Callis says, maybe I lost a nephew, but I gained a son. And he pointed to Takeshita, who he called the best athlete that he has ever seen in wrestling. You know who he's better than? He says, better than Ricky Dozan, better than Inoki, better than Maeda, better than Muto, and oh yeah, better than Okada. He says, you know who else he's better than? And we're going to show it very soon. He's better than Kenny Omega. And at this point in the promo, Takeshita took the microphone and he spoke in Japanese to boos. I don't know what he said other than the name Kenny Omega. I heard the name Kenny Omega mentioned. Callis said Takeshita is going to cut the Elite out of all Elite Wrestling. My God, the heat for this said the heat for this man was nuclear. These people would not let him speak. They hated this man so much. And I mean, what's to like, right? He's a very hateable person. He looks like a fucking lizard. So, of course, he's very, you know, some people have like a punchable face, right? Like a Sammy Guevara. Now they're trying to turn him into a baby face. But I mean, come on, he's coming out there. He's sticking his tongue out. You just want to slap the guy in the face. That's what makes him a good heel. Don Callis is like, he's like a reptile. So, of course, he's the perfect heel. He's the perfect foil here. But somebody shared a link on social media with me. They were in the crowd tonight. They were in the building in San Diego, and they were up in the cheap seats. And even from up there, like they said, like they've never, in all the times they've been to wrestling shows, they have never heard a reaction, a negative reaction. They've never heard boos like this before. Clearly, this person has never attended a New York Mets game in the last 20 years. But as far as wrestling goes, he had never heard a reaction like that. Now, Callis, it was noticeable that when Callis mentioned Okada, he kind of singled him out there. He said, oh, even Okada. He's even better than Okada. And I picked up on that. Has me thinking that, you know, Omega really now is locked into this feud. He's really locked into this feud, and Don Callis has screwed him over now a couple of different times. This thing is personal with him. It would almost feel out of place if they went into Forbidden Door in 3 weeks and they had Kenny Omega defending the IWGP United States Championship against Will Ospreay. Because Will Ospreay is wrestling Lance Archer this Sunday at Dominion. The winner of that match is the number one contender for the IWGP US title. And I just assume that the timing is perfect. Whoever wins that match, let's say it's Will Ospreay, would challenge Kenny Omega in Toronto at Forbidden Door for the US title. Now I'm not so sure, because now it feels to me like they're setting up for a tag team match. And I could see them doing Omega and Okada as tag team partners. Obviously, they've been on opposite sides before. I believe they were tag team partners this year, though, at the post-Wrestle Kingdom New Year Dash show. I could see Omega and Okada as a team against Will Ospreay and Takeshita. And that would be an incredible match. But they saved the U.S. title match for Wembley. I know it's a few months away. I don't know that there has to be a timetable necessarily for when he defends that championship next. So they could push it off for All In at Wembley Stadium, and they can have Will Ospreay challenging Kenny Omega for the belt at the end of August, do a tag team match at Forbidden Door so that Takeshita and Don Callis are involved and it keeps the story moving along. My assumption is they're going to save Blood and Guts for early July. That's what they did last year. They waited until, I think, a week or two after Forbidden Door, and they did Blood and Guts on TV. So if it follows the same pattern, we're not getting that Blood and Guts match for at least another month, and they can bring in Ibushi or whatever they're going to do 5-on-5. That's how I see things playing out. I think they may go the tag team route at Forbidden Door. But this was great. This was my favorite segment on the entire show.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
We got a highlights package of the TNT title ladder match with Wardlow and Christian Cage at Double or Nothing. Arn Anderson talked about biting the dinosaur's thumb in that match, while Wardlow said Luchasaurus found out not to get involved in their business, but he'll be more than happy to finish the job if Luchasaurus wants to be the next in line. So that feud is going to continue, where he beat Christian. Now he goes up against Christian's protege. He gets to go up against Luchasaurus. I don't know when, but that will be the next TNT title match. Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy against Bishop Kone and Toa Leona, the Gates of Agony. Two-thirds of the Ring of Honor six-man tag team champions with Brian Cage. They're, of course, members of the Mogul Embassy. So for those who don't know, for those who don't pay attention to Rampage, which I'm sure is a good number of you, we had Swerve Strickland and his Mogul affiliates, and we had the Embassy, led by Prince Nana. They merged, and so now I guess it's the Mogul Embassy. At least that's my unless something has changed. That's my understanding. It is still the Mughal embassy. And Tony Khan was, for the most part, few exceptions, but for the most part, Tony Khan has been staying pretty true to his word since the beginning of the year that he was not going to have any more Ring of Honor matches or Ring of Honor influence on the AEW shows. He said this coming out of Final Battle. And for the most part, he stayed true to his word. Tonight alone, though, we opened with a match that had the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. And then here in this match, we had the Gates of Agony. And, you know, the embassy and all that. So, you know, look, I'll tell you what. Cone and Toa Leona were very impressive here in this match. They had an opportunity to go out there on a bigger stage than they normally have, on a much bigger platform than Honor Club. They went out there on Dynamite, and they took advantage of the time that they had. I thought they were very impressive, and I think it may be time to elevate them off of Ring of Honor, or, you know, away from ROH, and onto Dynamite. Because I think they would be a very strong addition to that tag team division. They deserve a bigger spotlight after what I saw from them tonight. So Swerve Strickland, who again is part of this whole Mughal embassy, he, Brian Cage, and Prince Nana came strolling out early in the match onto the stage. They had a chair with them. And so Swerve took a seat while Brian Cage and Prince Nana stood on either side of him. He was there to observe. So again, to what I said earlier about whether or not that's going to, you know, lead to a Swerve title match with Orange Cassidy, I mean, this pretty much told you that that's the direction they were going in. Khan pulled Darby Allin to the floor. He was running him back and forth into the ring and the barricade, then threw him against another part of the barricade. Toa charged Cassidy and sent him flying with a shoulder block heading into the picture-in-picture break. These two were taking advantage of these two boys. Because the story is that Orange Cassidy, he outlasted 20 other men in the Blackjack Battle Royal on Sunday. He's been on his last legs now for a few months, right? He's been defending that title nonstop. He's just been wearing himself ragged. Darby was involved in that Four Pillars match for the AEW World title on Sunday, and he took a beating in that match. So these two came into the match at less than 100%. So these two monsters were just beating the living hell out of him. That was the story of the match. So Khan placed Darby on top on the top turnbuckle, picked him up while standing on the middle rope, and then dropped him down onto the top turnbuckle. Darby eventually got the hot tag to OC, who put his hands in his pockets. I can hear some people groaning at this point. He dodged the heels when they came charging at him. Cassidy put Cone down with a DDT for a near fall. The heels eventually regrouped. They had Cassidy pinned until Darby broke it up. Cassidy hit an awful-looking double Hurricanrana and then tagged out. Darby ducked a punch from Toa, who got hit with the orange punch from Orange Cassidy. He hit a Stun Dog Millionaire on Cone and then dove onto Toa on the floor. Darby followed up with a coffin drop on Cone, and he pinned him. After the match was over, Strickland, Cage, and Prince Nana, they all made their way down to ringside when Sting's music played, and Tony Schiavone, I mean, he basically had a meltdown and probably soiled himself at the commentary desk. Here comes Sting. He's got his jacket on. Of course, they're selling these jackets, so he's got to model them now. He's got his jacket on like it's September. He's got a baseball bat. Of course, he never leaves home without it. Always has that baseball bat with him. I would love to know if he takes that baseball bat, truly does take it everywhere he goes. I can just picture him with that baseball bat whenever he goes to the grocery store, whenever he goes to the salon, right? I'm sure Sting goes to the salon. He probably gets his hair did. He does it the mani and the pedi and all that bullshit, right? He has that bat right next to him when he's there. Takes his wife to the movies, date night, goes out to dinner at the restaurant. Sir, can I check your coat? Sure. Can I check your bat? No. I could just picture him taking that shit everywhere. So he's got that bat with him. He comes down to the ring. Swerve and the heels, they all think better of it, and they decide to bail, and Sting stands tall with Darby and OC in the ring. I thought that this was a fun match. I enjoyed this match, a great showcase for the Gates of Agony. And, you know, Darby and OC, they make a good team. I think this was the second time now we've seen them on television as a tag team. So they make a good team. Gates of Agony, again, they took 85% or more of this match. This was like a showcase match for them, even though they lost. And I would like to see more of them, but again, there's not really supposed to be any more mixing between the ROH brand and AEW. And I know, look, Samoa Joe is the Ring of Honor television champion. He's one of the featured stars on Collision. So, I mean, it is what it is. If you gave me the choice, I'd much rather have Joe on Collision than Ring of Honor, because I'm going to be watching Collision. I don't watch Ring of Honor every week. And I don't get to see enough Samoa Joe. So, of course, I want Joe to have the biggest platform possible. These two, I think, would be a fine addition to that tag team division in AEW. And also, you know, when this segment was over, we know that Orange Cassidy and Swerve are going to be wrestling next week. It left you wondering if we might get a tag team match with Sting and Darby against the Gates of Agony. Gates of Agony against Sting. I don't know. I don't know if that would end well for Sting. They're a very physical team. It would be like taking Veer and Sangha into Cher from Monday Night Raw and putting them in the ring with Sting. Their styles, you know, them in the ring with 64-year-old Sting, I don't know about that. These two kind of remind me of those two guys, just in terms of their, you know, intensity out there tonight, their power, their size. These guys are not as big as Indu Cher. But picturing Sting in the ring, you know, working with these guys, that might be a bit of a risk. So we got a highlight video of MJF successfully defending his AEW world title at Double or Nothing. He is still the holder of the Big Burberry belt. And we had comments from MJF that they spliced in, I guess, from backstage that night. He said, the clock is ticking and AEW is running out of competition. They are running out of gladiators for MJF to slay, as it has been made clear that no one is on the level of the devil. Yeah, Bliss fan says they remind him of Faces of Fear. That's a good comparison. I could see that, yeah. I could see Gates of Agony very similar to the Faces of Fear. Except that, you know, Meng, I mean, we're not comparing anyone's toughness to him. I would never dare do that. So what do you do with MJF? That's the question now. They did nothing on this show to even tease a direction for MJF, who the next challenger is going to be. I believe that Adam Cole is being groomed for that spot in a few months. I'm thinking closer to like All Out, assuming they're doing All Out in Chicago. What do you do right now with MJF? Does he skip Forbidden Door? Remember, in storyline, and maybe in real life, who knows. But in storyline, he despises Ring of Honor. Or not to, well, he probably does, but he despises New Japan. I'm still talking about Ring of Honor. He despises everything. He despises all of it, except WWE. He loves Nick Khan and WWE. He talks about him all the time. But he despises New Japan. Puts him down as much as he possibly can. I think MJF, and it doesn't even have to be for the championship necessarily, but MJF and Hiroshi Tanahashi still seems to me the likeliest match if he's going to wrestle at that Forbidden Door show. And Tony Khan is going to want MJF on that show. You do MJF against Tanahashi. Tanahashi is he's one of the flag bearers, one of the all-time legends of New Japan. He's somebody who can take the loss, right? Probably a lot more palatable to them if he loses than, let's say, Okada or somebody like that. Or Sanada. They wanted to do champion against champion. I mean, that never ends well. Unless, of course, you're Kaito Kiyomiya at the time when he was the GHC champion. Okada had no problem beating him, even though it was champion against champion. But I'm thinking MJF and Tanahashi. Because they gave us nothing. They gave us no hints or anything on this show about what the next challenge is going to be for him. But if it's tied into this whole Forbidden Door stuff, my money's on Tanahashi. I think he would make the most sense. So Tony Schiavone, back in the ring again. You know, they've been outsourcing a lot of this work to Renee ever since they signed her. So poor Tony doesn't have to keep getting up and down. But tonight, they went right back to the old way. Tony Schiavone's at the desk 1 second. The next second, he's back in the ring. Then it's back to the desk, then it's back to the ring. They were like tire tracks in the ground. He kept going back and forth. This is how he gets his cardio. So again, he was back in the ring. Before he could really say anything, he was interrupted by Hook. Hook's music. Out came the FTW champion, who never speaks. So for him to come down here, I was like, okay, let's see what this kid has to say. Of course, before he could even get a word out, he's interrupted. Because you can't cut a promo in this company without somebody interrupting you. He's interrupted by Jose the Assistant. Tony was going to ask him about what it was like teaming up with the Hardys on Sunday and helping Matt Hardy beat Ethan Page. And now Matt Hardy owns Ethan Page's contract and whatever. So he's interrupted by Jose the Assistant. Jose the Assistant comes out with Dralístico and with Preston Vance. And he said that Roosh is not there. Roosh is too dangerous to be on TV because people were making a big deal about the match with him and Jungle Boy before Double or Nothing, where he beat the piss out of Jungle Boy, took 90% of the match, got out of his snare trap finish. I mean, that booking was wild. But there are actually some people who think he took liberties with Jungle Boy. Wait, give me a break. Took liberties with him, went into business for himself. So, hey, they're going to parlay that now into his gimmick, right? He's the most dangerous man in professional wrestling. So Roosh was not there. He told Dralístico and Vance, as they're walking to the ring, to teach this pedo a lesson. They called him a dog. See, I know that. Called him a dog. Go teach this dog a lesson. Jungle Boy's music hit, and he walked out with a chair to make the save for Hook. He took out Dralístico. He took out Preston Vance. Jose ran back into the ring, right into a front head and arm suplex, and Hook took him over. There was a moment in this, after Hook took out Jose, where Jungle Boy, he's in his leather jacket, he's got the chair in his hand, he's standing in the ring right next to Hook, and it looked as if he might be about to turn that chair on Hook. For a second there, I thought we might get that Jungle Boy heel turn I've been talking about. And we still might, but didn't happen tonight. They played Jungle Boy's music, and that was the end of the segment. But for a moment there, I thought, hey, he might take that chair to Hook. Still could happen, though. There's still time for it to happen. Renee was backstage with the Outcasts. Saraya, Toni Storm, and Ruby Soho. Toni Storm with the AEW Women's World Championship that she won on Sunday, wrapped around her waist. And she said that some people would say she's just lucky, but she would say that she's been wrestling more than half her life, ever since she was a young girl. Luck had nothing to do with it. She said they look around the locker room and there's no one who can touch what she does. Ruby said that nobody can touch Tony's work ethic. And Tony said that she's going to be defending this title at all the House Rules live events that AEW has coming up. Because that's what a fighting, touring champion does. Throwing some shade at Jamie Hayter, and probably throwing some shade at Thunder Rosa as well. She said the only lucky people here are the AEW fans. So, no tease of who her next challenger is going to be. Shockingly, after what I just said, nobody interrupted this promo. How about that? We got no tease about who she will be defending that championship against next. Could it be against someone from Stardom? I mean, again, we have Forbidden Door coming up. Apparently, Stardom, from what I understand, has a pretty major show. I don't know if it's the day before or the day after Forbidden Door, and that might prevent any Stardom talent from being on the pay-per-view. I expected some Stardom participation in this year's show. If they have their own big show, it's possible they won't be on the show, but you know, maybe they'll do something with her and one of the Japanese talents. I don't know. But there was no indication here on this show about who she'll be defending that championship against next. Speaking of women's champions, in the very next segment, we had Chris Statlander, the brand new TBS champion. She is the one in 60-1, beating Jade Cargill on Sunday. Apparently, Jade is going to be taking some time off now. And when she is ready to come back, they're going to be giving her some kind of character refresh. So I don't know if that means turning her babyface. I don't know what other kind of refresh there would be. She's been a heel. Maybe she'll come back as a babyface. But this was Chris Statlander, if you can believe this. Chris Statlander has been out since August. She blew out her ACL. got hurt in August, had surgery in September. This is Chris Statlander's first match on Dynamite since January of last year. So long before she blew out her ACL for the second time, she was not on Dynamite for the majority of last year. She was on Dark and Dark Elevation and Rampage. Not a single match of any kind on Dynamite since January of 2022. That's ridiculous. So it's been a long time since we've seen her on this show. She was here to defend her TBS championship in an open challenge match against Nyla Rose. Now, again, as far as if you missed the review on Sunday, or Monday morning, I guess, I was very happy to see Chris Statlander back. I've been mentioning her name for months and months and months. That title had her name on it. They were just waiting. They were biding their time, waiting and waiting for her to come back. And it was inevitable that she was going to get that TBS title. I'm not a fan of the way they did it. It was a big moment for Statlander. I'm sure it's a night she'll never forget. Very special to her. They had a great promo package earlier in the show. It was very, very well done. Those are the kind of video packages that will help get people over on this show. Clearly, it meant a lot to her. I didn't like the psychology of it, though, where you have this woman come back, this big baby face. And even though Mark Sterling got in the ring and said, hey, we'll challenge anybody. I mean, just the notion that Jade, the heel, just wrestled the full match. Here comes Chris Statlander. She beats her. This woman is already tired from the match she just had. And for the baby face to come in there and do that instead of saying, hey, you know, guess who's back? I want you at 100%. I'm coming for your title. She just beats her for it. That's not the way that I would have done it. I didn't see the need to rush the belt onto her. I think you really could have made the fans want to see Chris Statlander win this championship instead of just throwing it on her. So I disagree with the way they went about doing it, but I'm very happy for it. I'm very happy. Look, we got to the same place anyway, so it's not that big of a deal. It's just not the way that I would have done it. But they showed a shot of Taya Valkyrie, who lost to Jade on Sunday before Jade then lost to Chris Statlander. So Taya's already lost. She's in the back watching this, observing the match, paying very close attention to the match on one of the screens in the back. After a picture-in-picture break, Statlander went up top, but she got her legs yanked out from under her, rolled to the floor where Nyla squashed her with a somersault senton off the apron to the floor, and then followed that with a running cannonball against the barricade, squashed her again. Back in the ring, a jawbreaker put Statlander back in control, and then she connected with a 450 splash, picture-perfect 450 splash for the 1-2-3. And in the back, they cut to Taya Valkyrie. She did not look very impressed by this win. So we did get a tease here. Unlike with Toni Storm, where there was no indication of who she's wrestling next, here it looks like they're going to have Taya Valkyrie stay in the hunt for the TBS title, even though she just lost. And she was, I can't say she was a heel. She didn't do anything. She just stood there. It doesn't make her a heel. But Chris Statlander is a babyface. So if they do this, Taya would be the de facto heel in this program. But I thought it was a good welcome back for her on Dynamite. I thought she looked great in there, and it's good to have Chris Statlander back. Yeah, she's been through a lot of shit. I really, truly hope she can stay healthy this time. You know, you're always just one wrong move away from some kind of freak injury. And I certainly hope that she can put those behind her and that she's going to be okay going forward. Because they could really use her in this division. You know, she's a strong addition to the women's division that has been missing for about 9 months now.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And they close the show with Chris Jericho and Saraya in a mixed tag team match against Adam Cole and Britt Baker. Cole and Jericho had their unsanctioned match on Sunday at Double or Nothing, which was the biggest disappointment on that entire show. And I still had people arguing with me, oh, you're being too hard on it. It was all the crowd. The crowd just was excited for it. Yeah, but they weren't. And they should have been, because it was one of the most featured feuds on AEW television in the weeks leading up to that pay-per-view. And the finish they did, and just everything about it, Sabu being the enforcer and showing up and doing one spot and disappearing, everything they did, it just didn't work. It didn't click. It was very disappointing. So now we get Cole and Jericho back in the ring here. They start slugging it out right away. Cole charged out of the corner with a lariat before Saraya tagged in, and she dared Cole to hit her. Britt Baker jumped in. She laid out Saraya with a sling blade and air raid crash. Saraya, though, grabbed Paul Turner's leg long enough for Jericho to trip up Britt. And that put his team in control during the final picture-in-picture break. Jericho took the referee as Ruby Soho and Tony Storm hit ringside on the flip side of the break. Here come the rest of the Outcasts down to the ring to triple-team Britt Baker until Hikaru Shida shows up with her trusty kendo stick, and she chases the Outcast off to the back. Baker was able to make the tag to Adam Cole, who pounced on Jericho until missing a drop kick that led to a Jericho Lion Salt that got two. Baker and Saraya, they tagged back in. They were fighting in the corner until Saraya got knocked off. And so she's on the floor, and Britt Baker is on the top rope. I don't know what Britt Baker was going for, probably just a splash. We don't usually see her doing anything off the top rope. Jericho gets in the ring, and he covers up Saraya. He's trying to protect her. He lays his body on top of her. Britt Baker comes off the top rope anyway, and she splashes down on both of them. Cole gets in. He hits a backstabber on Jericho, who then countered a Panama Sunrise attempt with a Walls of Jericho. So Britt Baker's on the apron while this is going on. Britt Baker is on the apron, and she puts on her glove. She gets in the ring, and she applies lockjaw. She got Chris Jericho down on the mat. She got the arm hooked, and she put lockjaw on Chris Jericho for a big pop. Saraya broke it up. Cole went for a super kick, only to run into a code breaker for two. Jericho and Cole, they collided at the same time with clothesline, so we got a double down. Both ladies jumped in. They started slugging it out. Saraya turned a neckbreaker attempt into the what she calls the good night, which is basically her rampage, her old rampage DDT. Looked like she spiked this poor girl right into the mat. And Jericho, meanwhile, grabbed a baseball bat, took a swing at Britt Baker, who ducked it, and he ate a super kick instead. Cole and Baker then hit dueling super kicks on Jericho as Cole lowered the boom to the back of Jericho's head with the knee strike, and he got the pinfall to beat Chris Jericho. Jericho on the outside after the match was furious as Cole and Britt Baker celebrated inside the ring. I enjoyed this a hell of a lot more than I enjoyed their singles match on Sunday. I really did. And the best part about this entire thing, no 50-50 booking. Would have been very easy for them to give Jericho his win back and to keep this thing going for a month or 2 months or 3 months. We've seen this happen before with Jericho, okay? I was worried about that. No 50-50 booking here. Adam Cole beat him on Sunday, and Adam Cole beat him again tonight. And that's very important if I'm right and Tony Khan is getting Adam Cole ready in a few months at the end of the summer to challenge MJF for the AEW World Championship. Not a doubt in my mind that we're going to get MJF and Adam Cole. The only question is, when are they going to do it? I say All Out. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's Wembley. Maybe it's Full Gear in November. But it's going to happen. And if it's going to happen, Adam Cole needs wins like this. What he does not need is to trade wins back and forth for the next 3 or 4 months with Chris Jericho. And I'll give Jericho credit. You know, to his credit, he did the same thing with Ricky Starks. He wrestled Ricky on television the first time and he lost. They had a rematch at Revolution and he lost again. So here he lost to Jericho on Sunday, or rather Adam Cole on Sunday, and he lost to him again here on this show. So fair play to Chris Jericho for that. And then we'll see as far as when they start building something with him and Cole, that is, and MJF. This feels to me, though, like this thing is over. There's no real need for this to continue. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's going to be a third match, but there ain't no need for it. There's no need for a third match. So I thought Dynamite overall was actually an excellent show tonight. They push forward the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club stuff, mainly with the Don Callis promo and what that promo was sort of teasing, even though Kenny wasn't there. The Bullet Club Gold segment, that set up a match between Ricky Starks and Jay White for next week. Swerve is going to get a shot at the International Championship, so he was, you know, hanging around Orange Cassidy's match tonight, which made sense. And that title may, you know, look, I thought when Orange Cassidy did not lose at Double or Nothing, I said, well, they must be saving that title change for Chicago. Maybe they want to make a big splash on that first collision, and he'll lose it there. He could lose that title next week to Swerve. I would love to see Swerve as the international champion. It could happen. It could happen next week. The Acclaim, they made it clear that they're not done going after the Trios titles. They want Billy Gunn to have one more title run. Sting and Darby against the Gates of Agony. I don't know if that's the plan, but it was sort of teased maybe tonight. Chris Statlander is back. It looks like she's going to be doing the Open Challenge or continuing the Open Challenge for the TBS title and hopefully defending that title on a regular basis. And Adam Cole hopefully has closed the Book of Jericho. Slammed it shut. Can't say for sure, but that's what it looked like to me tonight. Now, they have what they are calling Championship Friday. Or as Tony Schiavone said at the very end of the show, Night of Champions. That's what he said. But they're calling it Championship Friday on TNT, right? Rampage is still on TNT. I don't know. It's been bounced around so much, but it's on TNT. Rampage is back in its regular time slot, believe it or not. I think they were this past week, too. But after all the weeks and weeks and weeks of preemptions and different days, Rampage is back at 10 p.m. on Friday. And it's a quality lineup. It doesn't look bad. They have Elio Del Vikingo is coming back. I'll be calling his match in a few weeks. We got Vikingo, though, on Rampage, defending his AAA Mega Championship against Commander and Dralistico, who we saw on the show tonight. We have Willow Nightingale. She's going to be defending her newly won New Japan Strong Women's Championship against Emi Sakura. Zack Sabre Jr. is going to take on Action Andretti for Sabre's New Japan television title. And Katsuyori Shibata is defending his Ring of Honor Pure Championship against Lee Moriarty. So we are getting some New Japan influence. You can tell it's Forbidden Door season. You got some New Japan influence already starting up on Rampage this week. That's a quality lineup right there. Some good shit coming up on Rampage on Friday. Dynamite next week. As I mentioned before, right now, so far, Jay White, one-on-one with Ricky Starks. Everyone's banned from ringside. And Orange Cassidy defends the international title against Swerve Strickland. So there you go. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. We have got 76% of you giving this show tonight a thumbs up and 23% giving this show a thumbs down. Pretty good score. That's a rebound from what I think that's a rebound from what it was last week, right? I don't remember last week what the number was, but I'm sure it wasn't 76%. At Solomonster on Twitter is where you can go to vote. So go ahead and do something. All right, let's go through your super chats here. Thank you for all of the support, each and every one who donates. I sure do appreciate it. Taylor Cannon. Hey, Salamonster, glad you're feeling better. Thank you, Taylor. I appreciate it. Not 100% yet, but much better than I was the other night. So thank you very much. You know, I was going to watch Raw, lay down and watch Raw. I was going to watch Raw in bed. 5 minutes. I lasted 5 minutes. Pass right now. Raw really is, it really is just a great cure if you're having, you know, issues falling asleep or anything like that. Not only did I pass out within 5 minutes of watching that show, I slept for almost 10 hours. I can't tell you the last time I slept anywhere close to 10 hours. So I have to thank WWE. That was exactly what I needed. Then I watched the show the next day. Silver Tower with the $4. Callis has always had good heat. I thought that said something else. I remember back in ECW, the crowd would chant, "You suck dick" at him. Fun times. I'm trying to think if there's any other occupation in the world where if you had the crowd... Well, I guess there would be one other occupation. If people chanted that at you, you would know you were doing a good job. Chris with the $4.99. At the event right now, everyone booed at CM Punk getting announced. Also, could not hear a word Don Callis was saying. I wonder if they piped in the noises on TV. Well, no, I mean, if you're saying you couldn't hear what he was saying, that's what I heard from a couple of other people, too. Apparently, it was that loud in the building. I don't think they had any need to pipe anything. Usually, you could kind of tell. And all I saw when they showed the crowd were people on their feet booing the shit out of this man. Matt View. Happy to have you back and feeling well. Thank you, Matt. Very nice of you. The Matt Burning Kid, Christopher Bennett, has been a channel member for 13 months. I'm glad you're feeling better. Thank you for checking in on me. He checked in on me on Twitter, too. You're one of the good ones. Brandon Walker has been a channel member for 5 months. Five. King Kong Bundy would appreciate that. Jacob Donnelly, again, thank you for the remode earlier. Isaiah Duzan with the $10 super chat had a crazy Monday. The Walmart that I used to work at had a shooting. Welcome to America. My mom was in the building and close to where it happened. Luckily, she got out without anything horrible happening to her. I'm very happy to hear that. Glad that she is safe. I can understand why Will Ospreay. I can't imagine why Will Ospreay doesn't want to move to the U.S. I can't imagine why. Daniel Parker with the $9.99. Takeshita loves his Cinnabon, and a location put up a Do Not Serve This Man poster. That is real heat. Can't wait to watch Unhinged Takeshita. Scorp's Abandonment. Rank every WWE title from the best and worst look. Well, I think if you look over my shoulder, you kind of know what I'm going to put it numero uno. I think, you know, Winged Eagle, Big Eagle, Undisputed, probably, in that order. And, you know, ever since then, it's pretty much been logo belts. I mean, the spinner I hated. Hated the spinner. Even if it didn't spin, I just never liked that belt. But you have people who grew up on that belt. They're going to look at that belt and go, oh, that's the best belt. It's not. Shit. Never liked it. So, yeah, I'd go Winged Eagle, Big Eagle, Undisputed. Silver Tower, thank you again for that $30 Bully the Clown. Thank you very much. Fire Panda, thank you. Channel member, a Sound of Legend for for 9 months, BlizzFan punching the air at the Alexa Bliss news. Nick Grosso with the 1999. Decent show. Fun mixed tag. I think it was the best Saraya looked in a while. Very happy Chris Statlander is back. I think she joins the homegrown girls and Taya joins the outcast. And is Don Callis starting his own faction? I don't think he's starting a faction. I think right now it's pretty much just Takeshita. I don't think he's starting an actual faction right now. I don't get that sense. You mentioned the homegrowns and Statlander joining the homegrowns. It's possible, but, you know, I'm wondering now that Jade has dropped the TBS title and she's going to go away for a while. If they're talking about some sort of character refresh for her, I could see Jade Cargill linking up with the... I mean, she is an AEW original, right? They pushed her from scratch, from nothing, when nobody knew her. It would make sense for her to be part of that. Otherwise, what do you do with her? Daniel Parker with the 1999. I get people like Mox, but his Terry Funk light gimmick is stupid. Danielson and Claudio are better than him, yet he gets that rub. Just sick of it. Well, you better get used to it, because he signed a contract that's going to keep him there through, I think, 2027. So, he's not going anywhere. Thunder Force 2000, CM Punk's return to AEW on my birthday. Going to be quite the day. Are you going to be at the show? Or are you just sharing a birthday with him? Or with his return? Dan Richards, CM Punk is the new John Cena. It will draw money. I sure hope so. I hope for Tony's sake it does. It all comes down to ticket sales and pay-per-view buy rates. We'll find out. It won't take very long to find out. Scorp's Abandonment. Thoughts on the Ryback versus Goldberg retirement match? And if you had to pick someone to face Goldberg for his retirement match, who would it be and why? So there is no Ryback-Goldberg retirement match, as far as I know. Unless you've heard something new in the last few hours that I didn't. Ryback posted something on social media. I can't see because he blocked me. I think he's blocked half the fucking world. But actually, I don't know what it was. I think somebody sent me a tweet of his or something, but I didn't even know until earlier today. Apparently, Swerve has me blocked, and I have no idea why. I mean, I've certainly sung his praises quite a bit here on these shows, so I have no idea. But anyway, so yeah, apparently Ryback posted something with like an AEW logo, and he said that he challenged Goldberg to a retirement match. Ryback hasn't wrestled in like 6 years. I mean, please. Give me a break. As far as who I think it should be, I said if Vince McMahon was going to give Goldberg a retirement match, Bron Breakker would be the perfect opponent for it. Goldberg against Bron Breakker. They could do it at WrestleMania next year. Bron beats him. And he ascends to whatever, you know, whatever is next for him. He can always say that he's the one who retired Bill Goldberg. Like, Baron Corbin, future NXT champion Baron Corbin, will always be able to say that he's the man who retired Kurt Angle. Makes me fucking sick. But Bron Breakker, I mean, I watched that NXT Battleground show. And that spot where Carmelo Hayes did the springboard off the middle rope and Braun speared him out of midair was incredible. And I realized at that moment that Bron Breakker has the best spear in wrestling, the best spear maneuver in wrestling since Bill Goldberg. I know some people are going to go, oh, what about Rhino? Rhino had a great one. He had a great maneuver too, but Bron Breakker does it better than anybody I've ever seen since Goldberg in his prime. It's almost like he's in some ways the heir apparent in a way. Just he's got that explosiveness about him. He reminds me a lot of Goldberg. I'll take a Bron Breakker Goldberg match over Goldberg and Ryback. They're going to make Corbin the lone wolf again at NXT. He can't be the lone wolf. He's got no skullet. Can't be the lone wolf without the skullet. Everyone is just, you know, going nuts about this lone wolf shit. I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? This is a guy who has been booked like a fucking clown for how long now? He lost to Cameron Grimes in, what, 4 seconds? And he comes into NXT on day one, and he's supposed to be competitive with Carmelo Hayes? Really? That sure doesn't speak well to Carmelo Hayes. I mean, do people think about these things before they speak? I mean, you might be able to build Corbin back up into something in NXT, but to just throw him into an NXT championship feud? What is wrong with you people? Corbin's back. He's back. You would think that this guy was like some massive star back in the day. I mean, he had his moments where he was entertaining as the lone wolf, and especially when he was healing on all the indie guys, but give me a break. I don't know. I guess some people are just easily pleased. Daniel Parker, Solid Monster. Why the fuck is a squirrel in my wall? Solid Monster. Squirrel? What? Delete. Yeah. I think he deleted himself. I didn't do anything. Man, I like this song.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Chris Miner with the $9.99. I just lost my grandpa, and he was the one who got me into wrestling as a child, took me to St. Valentine's Day Massacre as my first show. Keep your loved ones close and cherish those moments. It's a very well said, Chris. I'm very sorry to hear about your loss. We're all thinking about you. But it is important to remember those moments. You get those moments, those are special. J-Glow, should or will CM Punk get another title run? Will we get an MJF CM Punk program this summer? We shouldn't. I would keep CM Punk as far away from that title as possible right now. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I would keep CM Punk as far away from that title as possible. At least for the time being. Hunters Hybrid Media. Let's hear an impression of what Vince Russo has to say about the CM Punk situation, bro. I would if my voice wasn't still under the weather. Bro, I'm not at my best, bro. This CM Punk guy, bro, the things I would do with him, bro. I hear he used to be a ladies' man, bro. I would have him hook up with every lady on that roster, bro. Sean D says, go Braves. There you go. That's right. I agree. Go Braves. Go right into traffic. Andrew Lima, have you ever lied awake at night and wondered who raised the briefcase on Steve Austin at King of the Ring 1999? No, because that's weird. I did wonder at one time back in 1999. I wondered who raised the briefcase. And then the next night on Raw, I realized it was probably the Big Boss Man. And then I never thought about it again. I think you need to lay in bed at night and start thinking about other things. Perhaps you could think about this lovely couple right here and what you are going to get us when we register. We're going to register in a few different places, and We will be accepting gifts very soon. I think that's what you should lay in bed at night and start thinking about. Start thinking about the happy couple. J-Glo. Ricky Starks, in an interview, said he hates the Four Pillars gimmick. Feels it is an FU to the rest of the performers in the company. Do you agree? I don't think it's that deep. I mean, if he feels that way, he's certainly entitled to feel that way. But I saw the video clip. I don't even know what that's from. He was on some podcast, obviously. I really don't think it's that deep. I don't find it. Now he's in the company, right? I'm a fan watching AEW. He's on the AEW roster. I don't find that to be anything overly offensive. These are the men who were there from day one, and it's a gimmick. So they call them the Pillars. And they made some T-shirts to sell that had pillars on them. And I get what they mean when they say pillars, but I don't see what there is to really be too upset about. Andrew, thank you. I love you too, brother. Shout out to Common Pearson. Shout out to you as well. Punk had Beth Phoenix too, I believe. Punk back in the day. Punk made the rounds. Right? There was Beth. There was Maria. Wasn't there Lita, I think, at one point? I lost track. After a while, I said, you know what? It's none of my business. Let the guy do his thing. He was sowing his oats. Good for him. Michael Darcy was at the show, could not hear Don at all. Match of the night was the triple threat on Rampage. Overall, a great night of wrestling. Swerve probably blocked you because of shit, bro. Who knows? Everybody's so sensitive these days. Groovy Goose, do you think that we will see Punk promos akin to the ones from his indie days if he is a heel? Either way, I have officially gotten my bachelor's. I thank you for the awesome content and groovy community. Hey, Groovy Goose, congratulations on getting your bachelor's. Bachelor's in what? Is it a Bachelor of Arts? Is it a Bachelor of Science? Are you an eligible bachelor? Do you need me to play matchmaker? What's going on here? Yeah, you know, based on that mixed reaction, you know, you could talk about Punk maybe as a heel. It's too early to just assume because of one mixed reaction to an announcement that Punk should go heel. Punk maybe should go heel, but let's see what happens. Let's see how the crowds take to him his first few weeks before we make that decision. Punk as a heel, though, might be the way to go. But if they're going to build that whole show around him, they're probably going to want him as the top babyface. Daniel Parker, Chug's Army, baby. Cole is a beautiful worker. Get him away from Jarrah Blow. Zachariah with a 1999. Zachariah, thank you very much. I think Jericho should hang it up if his feuds are wash and repeat at this point, but one consolation, he won't ruin a tag team like he did Ortiz and Santana. Dylan Hensley. I started my wrestling training back in April. We've learned headlocks, shoulder blocks, body slams, and now we're learning chops. Chops really hurt. Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. You know what else hurts? Running the ropes. Running the ropes hurts, as I found out recently at the Nightmare Factory. You don't do it the right way, even if you do it the right way, but especially if you don't do it the right way, they will fuck you up. Those ropes will eat you alive. Pillow versus Pillow. Have you watched RRR? I don't know what that is. RRR? You sound like a pirate. I don't know what that is. I'm going to assume no. Justin Hesse, glad you are feeling better. Justin, thank you very much. I'm glad that I am on the mend here. I was miserable the other night, so. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. I will give Collision a chance. Dominion this Sunday, and I will watch Forbidden Door representing New Japan. Of course, Naughty Delicious is a huge New Japan fan, so this is going to be your month, man. Then we got the G1 coming up. So Naughty Delicious is going to be on Cloud 9 this summer. Joseph Brooks with the 999. Buy or sell on whose streak should not have ended more? Undertaker's WrestleMania undefeated streak or Goldberg's undefeated streak? Also, who do you think should have ended Taker's streak if it had to end? Well, Goldberg's streak was going to end at some point. It was just a matter of when. And I always felt like him losing to DDP at Halloween Havoc would have been the time to do it. Undertaker's different, because Undertaker, I don't think that streak ever should have ended. I really don't. But if you were going to have him lose to put, you know, try to put somebody over, you know, who should that person have been? You know, at the time, and they didn't have a very good match, but I mean, you know, Roman Reigns would make sense because Roman was the one they were really pushing. It's just that the fans, they didn't want to see babyface Roman Reigns. But a guy like Roman would have made sense. I mean, you know, I mean, can't think of anybody, because in my mind I never would have ended the streak, so I never really gave much thought to, well, it should have been this guy, it should have been that guy. Roman would have made sense, but the conditions would have had to have been very different, because the fans would have just completely shit all over that. They already shit on him when he beat him in 2017, and Undertaker had already been beaten at that point. You know what? That's a good point. Bray Wyatt, WrestleMania 31. You know, again, if they were insistent on the streak being broken, I probably would not have had Bray lose to The Undertaker. I wouldn't have had Bray lose to John Cena, though, at WrestleMania 30. I mean, it's no wonder that Bray, you know, felt that he needed a complete character and gimmick overhaul. All of his big matches, he always lost. Lost to John Cena, lost to The Undertaker, lost to Randy Orton. I know people say wins and losses don't matter anymore, but those people don't know what they're talking about. Wins and losses are not the end-all be-all, but yes, wins and losses do matter. And if you feel like they don't matter, it's because you're simply not doing a good job of making them matter. Wins and losses do matter. And when you lose, when you run your mouth and you cut promos and you talk about how, I'm going to beat this guy, I'm going to beat that guy, and you go out there and you lose and lose and lose, people are going to look at you as a loser. So don't tell me that wins and losses don't matter, because I hear that and that's just coming from PSS drivel, coming from people who don't know what they're talking about. Juan Sanchez. Just got out of the show. Man, it was fun. Biggest moment had to be the heat that Don Callis got. Also, did you see the sign with all the... Is that a B? Berkeley? All the Berkeley on it? No. No, I did not. Not even sure what that means. Naughty Delicious says, I'll admit, I almost turned back into dried chicken without flavor when I watched the Double or Nothing highlights. Thankful that NXT, WWE, and New Japan prevent it. Todd Warner with the 5. Did you see the new Fight Forever gameplay today? What a redemption for Eddie Kingston. I did see it. Eddie Kingston looks, he actually looked like he had a soul this time. Eddie Kingston looks better in the gameplay than he did in that screenshot. That screenshot was horrifying. I just laughed at all the people who were calling him, because he calls himself the Mad King. But in that screenshot, he looked like King Kong Bundy. They were saying he's Mad King Kong Bundy. I don't know. That just popped me. When I read that, that just popped me. Mad King Kong Bundy. Still haven't been told what that RRR stands for. Andrew Lima, I'm hurting this week, but here's another $5 for diapers for you and Alexa's new addition. That's very kind of you. We both thank you. We are both very appreciative. See, that's the face I made when I learned the news, because I was not expecting this news. I would imagine that's the kind of look that most men have on their face when they get the news that they're not expecting. We're both very happy. See Moonsault. Rhea Ripley is not a good women's champion. She doesn't interact with any of the other women or have compelling feuds with them, just squashes them. So that makes her a bad champion? That she doesn't interact with any of the other women? I mean, I'm not sure what that even means. I've seen her interact with women in backstage segments. I've seen her interact with other women on the show. She squashes them. She squashed Natty. I mean, what did you expect her to do? To go out there on Saturday and have a long 15-minute competitive match with Natty? I don't know what you were expecting. I guarantee you the next time she defends that championship, it'll be more competitive. But if you're going to put her in the ring with people like Zelina Vega and Natty, Rhea Ripley should be running through them and destroying them. If Rhea Ripley ends up in the ring with Becky Lynch, if she ends up in the ring with Raquel Rodriguez, if she ends up in the ring one day with Bianca Belair or Charlotte Flair, I guarantee you it won't be a squash. You'll get the competitive, but well, I mean, she already had the match with Charlotte at WrestleMania this year. That was pretty competitive to me. But I don't know why you're expecting anything other than a squash when she's in there with people who are half her size, or she's in there with someone like Natty, who hasn't done anything in years, whose main purpose there is to help get the other women over. I would hold off on judging her title reign until they actually get her some good challengers. That's not her fault. You can blame Triple H for that and the wonderful creative team. Juan Sanchez, also I bought the TNT replica title, the black strap. Now I have 5 replica belts. Well, that's very cool. That's one more than I have. Naughty Delicious says, whenever Jericho is cooking now, turns into dried chicken. Silver Tower, hope CM Punk helped Collision. I want this to do well. I grew up on WWE, but having an alternative to WWE is good. Of course, having options is never a bad thing. You always want at least one strong alternative. Trill Mexican 305. Hey Solo, thanks for telling me on Twitter yesterday. Congrats on my 12 years sobriety. That meant a lot. Hope you're having a great night. And I meant it too. I was very happy. I think that's very cool. And long may it continue. So you are very welcome. Nick Grasso, did you catch Dark Side of the Ring last night? I did not. I'm still waiting for a link to pop up somewhere. I do not have Vice. I do not have Vice. So once it pops up somewhere and I can actually watch it, I will hopefully be able to do a review on the show on Sunday for it. Let us hope. And Juan Ocampo, did you hear McAfee take a shot at AEW on his show? I saw the clip. You know, again, I just think it was not the right time to be taking a shot at AEW the same weekend that NXT, you know, had a show where people took similar pictures of a mostly empty building. Like, are we really going to be slinging mud back and forth, like taking pot shots about attendance when on the other show, the attendance was pretty much, you know, I don't want to say it was equal, because I'm pretty sure AEW had a lot more people in the building than NXT did. But, you know, again, it's they rope off certain sections, and you have half the arena is empty. Nobody should be gloating about this past weekend except WWE for Night of Champions. Night of Champions, by all accounts, was a smashing success for that company over in Saudi Arabia. Otherwise, AEW should not be gloating about the attendance, which was not all that impressive as compared to past years of Double or Nothing. And NXT certainly shouldn't be, or anyone as far as the NXT troopers or fans, should not be gloating about their attendance either, because it didn't look all that impressive from the photos I saw either. I just think it's just stupid. I think it's all very, very stupid. We had someone. Who was it? It was Silver Tower. Yes, it was. Silver Tower just gifted 10 more channel memberships. Look at all of these new members now. Look at this. Rob Undead, Silver Dollar, 1989. Justin Bradley, Bash. Bash 8 is now a channel member. Welcome, 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 welcome. And we have, now I said the goal, what I say the goal was for tonight, for Be the Booker, 400, right? 400? Well, we smashed that. We smashed the goal, guys. Moroa, 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 what can I say? Thank you for the $50, man. Do you think that there is more leeway towards WWE than AEW? AEW has its faults, and there is valid criticism to the show, but it seems that a large portion of the wrestling audience and mainstream media criticize AEW for the sake of it. There are certainly people who do that. There are certainly people who will criticize AEW because they just want to shit on it, but I don't completely agree with that. I think that there are valid criticisms to the AEW product, and you can state those criticisms. I think that it's absolutely fine. If you have criticisms of the AEW product, of the booking, of the pacing of the shows, of Tony Khan, state those criticisms, as long as it's done in good faith. You know, it's the people who just bash for the sake of bashing that you can't take seriously, because you know those people have an agenda. And you can say the same thing about WWE. Like, for me, any criticism that I levy against WWE is criticism that I feel is valid. And it's criticism that I feel needs to be stated because I want to see improvements made in certain areas. I want to see improvements made as far as the tag team division, and I feel like they've made some. I want to see improvements made as far as the women's division, which has been awful. So there are certain areas where I will say that this company is having issues here, here, and here. Here's why. Here's why this sucks. Here's why this needs to be fixed. And oh, by the way, here's this great stuff that they're doing with the Bloodline, or here's this great stuff they're doing over here with Imperium and with Gunther. But you have people, you will always have people on both sides of the fence, whether it's Team WWE or Team AEW, where any criticism is not accepted. Any criticism is taken as a personal shot, like an arrow to the chest. They take it like they bleed. They bleed for their company. I find that so, it's bizarre to me, and it's pathetic. I find that very sad. People who take it so personally that any negative slight, and they come back with insults, or they have to insult the other company, or you're a hater, you're this, you're that, your channel sucks, your show sucks, your opinion sucks, you suck. Why? Why? Because I stated the obvious? Because I disagreed with you? Because I didn't suck on the teat? Because I didn't lick the boot? I mean, those are the people that I just can't take seriously. So, but criticism is fine as far as these different companies is concerned. Just do it in good faith. Seems pretty simple to me. Silver Tower. Doesn't matter if you are an AEW or a WWE guy. Support your favorite wrestling company. We need more packed buildings for wrestling shows. Well, packed buildings are certainly more fun. They're usually louder. Hey, Chris Manson has been a channel member, a Sound of Legend, for 25 months. Halfway through the year, what has been the match of the year so far? For me, it is MJF against Bryan at Revolution. I've got my own little running list of the Match of the Year contenders so far. I was quite fond of the Wrestle Kingdom match with Omega and Ospreay. So that's going to be way up there. The Iron Man match is fantastic from Revolution. But there were a bunch of matches I really enjoyed at WrestleMania this year. That's a hard one. I don't know. We're not at the midway point yet. Let's wait until the end of June. Right? End of June, middle of June, then we'll be at the halfway point. We're not there yet. There's a lot of contenders, though. I think I already have on my list at least, probably at least 15 matches on there already. We're not even at the halfway point. Dr. Dakota Scorpio coming in with a super chat here. I want to see AEW crash and burn like the 100-win Mets last season and postseason. I joke. Boney with the $5. You can be the WWE fan. You can be the AEW fan. Just know the real wrestling fans are at the NWA. Oh, that's right. That's right. Remember, Billy Corgan told us this week that if we don't want to watch Tyrus, we're not real wrestling fans. As I said online the other day, I said, well, guys, it's been a great run. It's been a great run. It's been, for me, what's it been, 35 years, 36 years? I had a good run, I guess. All right, we smashed the Be the Booker goal. Enough of this. Let's book some matches.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
It is time to Be the Booker. We went 0 for 3 the other night. What was that? Was that the Double or Nothing review or the... I've been doing so many reviews, I lost track. It was either the Night of Champions review or the Double or Nothing review. Where I went 0 for 3. So we've got to up our game here. And then I'll get back to your super chats. Let me see those Be the Booker emojis. If you are a channel member, you can throw up those B2Bs in the chat. As we kick things off here on the men's side, for those who don't know, I'm sure you all know, but if you don't know, we do a men's match, a women's match, and a tag team match. And I will tell you that I updated Tag Team Be the Booker. I made some changes. I got rid of some things. I added some teams. So we'll get to that one here in a second. Hey, there's Vincenzo McMahon on the screen right now. Hey, Dr. Dakota, thank you for the super chat. We begin with James E. Cornette. Look at Yokozuna's thigh. My God. My God. Jim Cornette. Oh, there could be some fun ones here. I think Orange Cassidy's in here somewhere. I know Russo's floating around in here somewhere. Jim Cornette. Gonna go one-on-one. With David Arquette. Former WCW World Heavyweight Champion, David Arquette. David Arquette and Jim Cornette. I think even Jim Cornette would give that the buzzer. I think Jim Cornette would do a lot more than give it the buzzer. He'd probably beat me over the head with his tennis racket. All right, let's book a women's match here. We'll begin with Tori, formerly of DX, Tombstone Tori. We've landed on her a few times. We've landed on Tori a few times here and Be the Booker. Tori going to go one-on-one with Rowdy Ronda Rousey. What do you guys think? I'm on the fence with this one. Ronda Rousey and... Now, you know what? Now, had a moment of weakness there, but I can't. I can't do it. Can't do it. Let's go to the tag teams now. So, like I said, I made a few changes here. Maybe we'll land on some new teams. We can't go 0 for 3 twice in 1 week. We just can't do that. I can't accept that. Begin with LAX. Boy, this is like the original LAX here. We got Homicide and we got Hernandez. Homicide and Hernandez. The Latin American Exchange. And who, oh who, will they be getting into the ring with? Drum roll, please. The LAX taking on LOD with Animal and Heidenreich. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh for three.
He actually did it. Amazing Goonthar.
Uh-oh.
Jerry Lawler loves Goonthar the Magnificent. All hail Goonthar.
What's going on?
What's going on? What's going
on? How come nobody's here?
How come nobody's here? How come nobody's here?
Be the Booker.
Be the Booker. Be the Booker.
Hello?
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 Anybody?
Anybody?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? I'm all alone here. 0 for 3. It's terrible. Hey, that was Darth Bullsey with a $50 super chat. Orange Cassidy is very popular. He would have gotten over in the 90s. It is obvious. Ooh, that's going to get you some hate. I don't disagree with you, by the way. I actually think that gimmick would have gotten over. We're talking about a period in the 90s where Salamazer couldn't fill a bingo hole. Who said that? Matt View. I'm looking at you, you prick. Darth Bullsey, though, look, you're talking about a period in the 90s where people were cheering for a guy with a mannequin head. They cheered for a guy with a mop. I think Orange Cassidy would have gotten over, too. I agree with you. All these people who think, oh, my God, what has wrestling become? Orange Cassidy, that never would have flown in the 90s. I got news for you. He would have gotten over in the 90s. I'm not saying he would have been pushed as a main eventer, but I think he would have done well. Hey, Seth, thank you. I appreciate that. And Bullsey, thank you for the 50 bucks, man. That's awesome. Let's see here. I missed a few, so I'm going to go through all of them. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Silver Tower says, Be the Booker hates us all. I don't know. It's like it's revolting against us. I don't know what's going on here. Dr. Scorpio says, How many wrestling fans does it take to screw in a light bulb? Not much, because most wrestling fans aren't that bright. I actually agree with that one. You're not wrong. Based on my experiences on social media, you're not wrong. Naughty Delicious says, I'm the real father of Alexa's baby. Let's go on Maury. And Dr. Scorpio, we went 1 for 9. we went 1 for 9 to end Be the Booker for May. Jesus. Did we really? I think you're right. I think we did. We went 1 for 9. That would fit right in on the Mets. Oh, boy. Well, what can you do? All you can do is turn around and do better the next time, right? That's it. As long as we hit the goal, we'll try again on Friday. Friday night, we got SmackDown. Friday night, we have the 1,000-day celebration for Roman Reigns. Coming up on SmackDown. And we have two Money in the Bank qualifying matches. LA Knight and Montez Ford. And then Lacey Evans against Zelina Vega. So I'm picking LA Knight and Zelina Vega to move on. If LA Knight can't even qualify for Money in the Bank, I just don't know. I just don't know what the fuck Triple H is doing. I like Montez Ford, but not against LA Knight. So that is coming up on Friday night, and Silver Tower knows how to close out the night with style, because he just gifted 20 more channel memberships. Ooh boy, look at this! Look at this list. Steve is convinced that Silver Tower is John Gotti, is Professor John Gotti. He may be. You know what? I think he's bested John Gotti. I think he killed John Gotti is what he did. He buried him out back. He's like, we don't need no stinking John Gotti. We got Silver Tower. He's the new Don. Silver Tower is the new Don. We got to kiss the ring. Man. Well, welcome to all of our new channel members, by the way. And all your access to all these wonderful emojis. Hey, Steve, let's start putting our heads together. You and me should start thinking about some new emojis to add to these. We gotta have even more emojis here. But you now have access to all of those, so enjoy. I will be back with you on Friday night. I am feeling better, thank God. So we'll be live on Friday. Of course, episode 811 of The Sound Off coming up this Sunday, as we do each and every week. Thank you for all the support. Thank you for all the we still got super chats coming in. But thank you for all the support and all the messages. It means a lot to me. It really does. Especially the other night. I really didn't want to miss the Raw stream. I felt bad about that. I just hate missing streams, but believe me, it had to be. It would have been a mess. If I was on here on Monday night, it would have been an absolute mess. What is this? What do we got here? I saw something. Was that James Cooper? James Cooper just dropped a $19.99 super chat. There it is. James Cooper. Thank you, Solo, and all the mods. You do great to make these streams enjoyable. Solo is objective and has good reasons for his takes. Proud to be a listener for 10-plus years. Keep up the great work and have a great night. Look at Richie Rich over here dropping all this money on me. Boy. Hey, I just want you to know.
Hey, James, thank you very much, man. I appreciate that.
I don't mean The Rock, A Rock. You rock. And I just wanted you to know that. Darth Bullsey with a $100 super chat.
Yes, 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 yes.
Getting the yes treatment here from the Sound Off crowd. Darth Bullsey with a $100 bomb. People do forget that comedy was a big part of pro wrestling. That is one of the reasons why it was so popular, especially when The Rock was so famous. One of those reasons. Comedy. Stone Cold beating on Vince was always comical. The best shows of WWE, most were funny. It's a good point, and somewhere along the way, in the more recent years, WWE, it's almost like they forgot how to do comedy. Because a lot of their comedy was very hit or miss. But you're right, back in that period, a lot of it was comedy based. That's a very good point. You know, comedy done right in pro wrestling is very entertaining. It's when comedy is done wrong in wrestling that it just, you know, it just ruins the show. So that's a very good point, though. But hey, Bullsey, man. Thank you very much. Bullsey coming in hot. Look at Bullsey. Yeah, we got people from all walks of life here on these streams, man. I hear from people who listen to the main podcast from all parts of the world, all backgrounds, Facebook. It's amazing. It's amazing the reach that you can have on here. Thank you for hanging out with me here on a Wednesday. This has been a hell of a stream, guys. You guys have blown me away, and it is June 1st. This is the way that we want to start off the new month. This is how I want to start off the month of June. So you guys killed it. Be well, stay safe, and we'll come on back here. I hope you'll be here with me on Friday night, even if you don't watch SmackDown. Come on back Friday night. We'll do it all over again. Until then, take care, guys. Thanks for the love.